This is Hidden Killers Half Year in Review. A look back at some of the most compelling cases of 2026 so far. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We're about to watch Corey Richens, children's social workers, their therapists, read their statements. They're addressing their mother directly. We're hearing an insight into their psyche that we have not heard yet. I think a lot of us who are parents are not, anybody who gives a crap about victims has been looking at this case and really wondering about those three kids, her three kids, because she never talked about them through any of this, never brought it up as a point of contention or concern or anything. I think, I mean, honestly, from a defense perspective, that's a missed opportunity. It did not, she could have used that to humanize her 500 ways to Tuesday and she didn't touch it. Why? Because she's not there. She's not, it's not a pain point for her. It doesn't seem to be much of anything for her. Most people, maybe the first thing on their mind, your kids, getting back to your kids, being with your kids, what's going on with my kid? I mean, we didn't hear anything about it until now. So how are they doing? What do they think of their mom? Are they conflicted? Or do they understand what's happening? Have people told them? If you don't have kids and you hear the words, you know, they're in the age range of like 9 to 13. If you don't have kids, you may be thinking, oh, they're tiny, they're naive, they don't know anything. I have a child in that age range. I've been living through that range, 9 to 13, for the last 5 years. They're smart. They're sharp. They know what's going on. They know when a parent has been narcissistically evil to them. They feel the pain. They feel the confusion. They feel the contempt. And it doesn't necessarily need any adult in the room saying, you should feel this way about this parent. You don't have to do any of it. You just let them feel. And then you're there for them. You support them. You help them work through that sort of trauma. But nobody needs to guide them to the trauma. They've already been dumped into it. And now they're trying to work their way through it. And the conclusions they have come to, holy shit. Wow. This was some powerful stuff, and we're going to go through it here in just a second. This is like a three-part segment that we've been doing. We started it yesterday. We have two today. We're going to be going through the kids' statements first. Then we're going to watch Corey, so get your popcorn. We're going to watch all of that together as we continue our journey here of WTF was that, the sentencing of Corey Richens. And I think what makes this so crazy, their statements are not crazy. What makes the whole damn thing crazy was Corey's reactions. Her dismissive reactions, her eye rolling, all of that. These kids are bearing their souls to the frickin' world, and most importantly, to their mom. Here's what you did to us. And there ain't no empathy. None. Zero from mom. It's scoffing. It's rolling eyes. They're in the wrong. They've been brainwashed. And if she tells herself that, well, it's not their fault, somebody else did this, then she can't be mad at the kids publicly. She mad at everybody else around them while never feeling the pain, their very real pain. It's what all these borderlines and narcissists do. And then when they feel they're being disrespected by the children that they've traumatized, oh, well, it's on the kids then. Disrespecting me. It's earned, bitch. She had three boys. That's who walked into that courtroom, not through the doors, but through the voices of their therapist, because they're too young. Still too damaged to stand in front of the woman who prosecutors say destroyed their world and say the words themselves. So they wrote them down, and damn, they did a good job. If you're watching this and you're one of those kids, goddamn, wow. You are strong people. You are strong people, and it is as hellish as all of this is right now. these trials and tribulations, for lack of a better term. And I know it sounds big. It sounds biblical even. I'm not trying to make it sound that way, but they're big. It's big. It's no one can take that from you. It's big. It's hellish. And you guys already know that. This experience in your life, as unfortunate and horrendous as it is, and this doesn't mean jack to you right now, I'm sure, is going to serve you later in life. And the experiences that you have and the interactions you have with other people, your trauma, your pain, your hurt, your sorrow, everything that's been stolen from you, I do believe this. You will be a beacon of light to others and be able to give that back tenfold to others who are in those positions. Because you've been there, you can identify it, and you can help others work through it the same way right now that you are working through it. And it's going to take time. I mean, this is going to be a lifelong journey, without a doubt. But you're going to get to places that others feel helpless to get to, right when they're first experiencing it, probably the same way you guys did. And you're going to help countless people throughout the course of their lives who've been victimized by people just like your mother. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are just like your mother. There's a lot. I know it's scary to think of, but it's true. And there's a lot of people that are looking for a helping hand to go, what the hell was that? What did I just live through? Your voices are what help other people feel normal and feel not alone and realize there is another world on the other side. How do I know this? I see my own daughter at the age of 13 doing that. So I'm coming from a place of experience, not just platitudes. One by one, licensed therapists, clinical social workers, play therapists, the kind of professionals you only need when a child's been shattered into pieces, stood at that podium and read those words into the record, words from a 9-year-old who woke up to sirens and didn't know if he was going to die, words from a boy who had to walk his little brother to the bus stop and feed him because the adult in the house couldn't be bothered, words from a kid who watched his animals starve, who got locked in his room for telling his stepmother, or from telling his mother, rather, she was drunk, who lay in a hospital bed after a seizure. Well, the woman prosecutors say had fentanyl in that house, fought to keep doctors from drawing his blood. These aren't allegations from prosecutors. These aren't theories from investigators. These are memories of children who lived inside that house. And Corey Richens sat there right in front of that courtroom while those words filled the air and scoffed, rolled her eyes, dismissed the pain of her very own children that she's accused, that she's convicted of orphaning, as if their suffering were an inconvenience to her, as if this were something happening to her. Now we're going to watch how all that went down in the courtroom.
Good morning, Judge.
The key here is
my name is Jessica Black.
Corey's reaction.
Clinical mental health therapist and a registered therapist. Myself and my colleagues are here today to read the victim impact statements for 3 children. We are here as advocates on their behalf. After a developmentally appropriate process, the boys were able to decide individually how they wanted to share their statements, and this is what they chose. Our roles are to read their words exactly as they wrote. The boys want the court and the world to hear their side. This is from WR. I woke up to sirens, and there were a lot of people at my house, and I was definitely scared. I felt confused. I was in a bedroom with my brothers and I didn't know what was happening. At first I was really scared because I didn't know what was happening and I had no control and I felt helpless. I felt really overwhelmed. After my dad died, Corey would put us in the basement while she was with the neighbor. I felt scared because I thought something really bad was happening again. She would take me to places that smelled really bad. Everything she did made me feel uncomfortable. When someone talks about Corey, it makes me feel hateful and ashamed. She took away my dad. It's made me have a hard time trusting people. I was scared that Corey's family would come to my school and take me. I had to go to counseling with DCFS in Heber, and I did not like it. DCFS made me talk to Corey, and I couldn't do things that I wanted to do. I felt not important to anyone. I feel a lot better about myself now than I did with Corey. I can't ever see my dad again. I want her to go to prison forever. If she got out, I would be so scared, really mad, and I wouldn't want to go with her anywhere. I'm worried that she would take me away from Katie and Clint. Once she is gone, I will feel happy, and I will feel safer and relaxed and trust people more.
That's one of the kids.
Christina.
Yes, Your Honor. I am Christina Green. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, not registered play therapist, and I will be reading for AR. You took away my dad for no reason
Corey,
other than greed.
Already, like,
you only cared about yourself and your stupid boyfriends. You were not caring.
Corey already just like scoffing at the woman's title that she's a clinical social worker. See, if you're listening to this, she's rolling her eyes at that. I mean, this is someone who just this is narcissistic collapse where it's just there. It's like the analogy I made on another. I think I made it on the other video of you ever have a large cube of ice and you try to melt it. Spray your hose at it, and it's like you can spray super hot. You can pour a pot of hot water on that thing of ice, and the ice is still going to be ice. Pouring it on there really harshly, really quickly, doesn't melt the ice. It make a little imprint, but it's not changing anything. It's still ice. It's still there. Like, how did this boiling hot scalding water not destroy this ice cube? Because it rolls off of it. That's how narcissists are, borderlines are, people like this are. Nothing ever impacts them. They're always deflecting, always reflecting everything that comes at them back onto somebody else. And at the end of the day, no matter how scalding hot that reality is, still there, still frozen, still rigid, still in that way of thinking, no matter what. She thinks she's coming across as something very different than she actually is. And that's the cognitive distortion of it all. I mean, she does not see. She thinks she's hitting home runs here with her reactions. She thinks she's going to be a truth warrior. Let's continue with the next the social worker here.
And watching over me and my brothers, I had to be a parent to W. C and I would walk him to the bus stop, feed him, and watch him. You were not concerned about our health. When we got hurt, you didn't even care. When C got run over by a side-by-side, you still made him go to the soccer game that day without taking him to the doctors first. You would lock C in his room and I would have to go to the kitchen and bring him food. You shamed us when we didn't want to eat uncooked lasagna you made. We threw it away because we couldn't eat it. Then you made us watch videos of children starving in war areas. You wanted to scare us into eating something that wasn't cooked. You wouldn't let our dog outside, and then the dog would pee inside. You created this problem, then you would smack my dog on the head as hard as you could. You wouldn't let me put my kitten in the garage for safety at night, and we found it eaten by raccoons the next day. You wouldn't let us turn on and use the heater lamp for the chickens and bunnies, and they froze to death. You would always argue with my dad and lock the door. You were not playing the role as a real mother does, you were doing the opposite. Now my dad can't be my coach anymore, can't be at any of my games, he won't be at my birthdays, he can't teach me how to drive, He won't be at my graduation, and he can't take me camping or fishing. You made me paranoid about sleeping on my dad's side of the bed by saying I might die or get harmed when I was just trying to be close to my dad after you killed him. You took away everything from me and my brothers. I don't want you out of jail because I will not feel safe if you are out. You have never said sorry for anything that you have done to me and my brothers. I don't want you to hurt anyone again. I know that you will need to stay in jail to fully take accountability for what you did to me, C, W, and my dad. With you in jail, I will be able to continue to feel safe and live a happy and successful life without fear of you hurting me or anyone I love. Thank you, Your Honor.
I noticed her reactions to all this. Oh my gosh. This is not reacting to their pain. This is reacting to her being called out. This is her, I think, being shocked that the shit she did, they remember, and they're reciting to somebody else, and it's being aired publicly. That's what that reaction is. And you can always tell the ones that that hit the hardest with her, because she gets more emotive. When being exposed, does not react in a natural way that someone would react if a lie was being told about them. Confused, hurt, angry even. She reacts like someone just told her that Publishers Clearing House is going to be in the neighborhood later this week and they might be coming to your doorstep. What? No way. Those statements are not a what, no way. Those statements are a, oh my God. I can't believe that my actions were even this, that I did this, and this is the pain that my child is now feeling. No, she's feeling disrespected, she's feeling exposed, and she's feeling it by the people that she created. The people that in her mind, I think she probably thought for a long time, were going to be the ones that were still going to be there by your side. There's nobody left by your side, Corey. And these morons that came into the courtroom and stood by your side and said a few nice things about you, like you showed up to yoga on time. Well, they need to wake the fuck up. Let's keep watching.
I'm a licensed clinical social worker and registered play therapist, and I'm going to read the victim impact statement for CR. My name and age now. My name and age I was at the time of the crime. CR, age 12, now 13. I was 9 when my dad was murdered. What I would like to see happen if the perpetrator is convicted of the crime, I would like to see Corey get a life sentence. My thoughts regarding an appropriate sentence for the person who is accused of this crime and if they are found guilty. I think Corey should get a life sentence because what she did is very sick. Because it had no reason to happen and it impacted a bunch of people, including me. These are some reasons why I think she should have a life sentence. The information I feel is important for the judge to be aware of in sentencing. I think the judge should know that my dad was a good person and very thoughtful and kind and helped whoever needed help. He was always taking the extra mile to help people. My physical injuries as a result of this crime are as follows. I was sleeping and then I went to get a drink of water, then went back to bed. And when I woke up shaking and Bailey called the ambulance and they came and I couldn't talk for a while, I think Corey had something to do with it because she didn't call the ambulance. She called Bailey and Bailey called the ambulance. At the ER, Corey resisted to have my blood drawn. And kids who usually have this kind of seizure is when they are a few months old to a year old. I learned later that Corey bought more fentanyl and had it in the house when this happened. I think this is what happened. She did what she did to my dad in the living room. My experienced emotional injury because of this crime is described as follows. Sad. I feel mad that I have to feel sad. I went from being scared for my life to feeling really good. I was scared for my life because I didn't eat that much. Corey was always drunk or gone. I was always locked in my room. I can't remember, but I am pretty sure the lock was on the outside. Corey threatened she would kill my lizard because we didn't want to watch some weird show with her. All of our chickens died because there was no food or water. My rabbit died because we didn't have food or water. The goats almost starved to death because she bought moldy hay and she didn't water them. Nothing ever got fed or watered. It didn't feel good to worry about my animals. I felt like I had to take care of my siblings. Ash mostly took care of me, though, because I was locked in my room. Ash would bring me food. Corey would lock me up if I told her she was drunk. This happened pretty much daily. I feel angry that she locked me in my room. I am angry almost all my animals died. I am angry she threatened to kill them. I am angry she killed my dad. I started to feel really good when I moved into a safe place. It was safe because the people around me were safe, Katie and Clint. I felt safe at Jake and Shalina because I wasn't with Corey anymore. Counseling. I feel annoyed that I have to go to counseling and tell the story about what happened 55 million times. I feel better now because I know it's to help me. I would like to not have to go to counseling. I would like to have to not worry about anything after this trial is over. I want the judge to know. I hope Corey gets convicted to a life sentence. Corey is always drunk. I want the judge to know my dad was a good person and I miss my dad. I miss my dad, but I do not miss how my life used to be. I don't miss Corey. I will tell you that.
Thank you.
That is the words of Corey Richens' children. I'm not going to get into it, but there are so many things in these statements of these children that are similar to the world I was living in for a long time. The level of self-centeredness with people like this is stunning. To have consistent stories across the board on all three of these kids about the animals, about the let's get them, and then I don't want to take care of them because they're inconvenient or they're not what I thought they were. But they're living creatures. And the idea that you just kind of let them die because you want to play farmer, because you want to play this or that, this role, this identity that you want to take on that you see on television of being Joanna Gaines or whoever you're watching on HGTV. And then failing miserably at that and getting really hot on the idea and really cold on the idea. And there's living things involved. I watched that play out personally in my world for a while as a husband. You're like, what's going on here? Why? What was happening? It's confusing. It's fucked up. And then you go, okay, wait, this isn't okay. Like, what is happening here? And those kids are as confused. And I it'd be so interesting to hear Eric's words of what he was observing as he was trying to take care of this family, provide for Corey, keep her bullshit land afloat. While everybody is basically being a victim to her neuroses. She's so far out of left field that when you you share stories like this with other people about what's going on in your life or what's going on with you? Number one, when you're in the middle of it, you don't share because you're ashamed of like, this isn't normal. Like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with my partner here, but hopefully we can figure this out. But when you do go out and share, you know, like I'm doing now, it sounds so insane. It sounds so ridiculous. It sounds like people don't do this. Yeah, they do. I mean, it may sound crazy, like what those kids are talking about. I've seen that shit firsthand with people with personalities just like Corey. Why do you stay? Well, you're protecting your child, because if they're capable of that sort of shit, what else are they capable of? They're capable of letting the animals die or killing the animals or getting rid of them, ripping them from the lives of the children because it becomes an inconvenience. When one day it's the most exciting, loving, wonderful thing. Isn't this great? It's exciting. And then, oh, it's too much work. I've seen this shit with people like this, and this is triggering as fuck to me to watch this. Those kids are telling the truth. Corey's reacting the way narcissists and borderlines react to being called out. That shit's raw. That shit's real. Three children put their guts on paper. A nine-year-old wrote that he wants her in prison forever because if she got out, he'd be scared she'd take him away from the only people who've made him feel safe. A boy wrote that his father will never coach his games, never teach him to drive, never show up to graduation, and that the woman accused of taking all that was never once able to say she was sorry. A kid wrote that he was locked in his room so often his brother had to sneak him food, that his animals starved to death around him while nobody cared. Those words hung in that courtroom like smoke. And Corey Richin rolls her eyes, scoffs. Not at a prosecutor's theory, not at a detective's testimony, at her own children. At the boys who called her mom, at the pain she's accused of engineering with a fentanyl-laced cocktail and a life insurance policy. There's a kind of cruelty that flinches, that looks away, that at least has the decency to feel the weight of what's it's done. And then there's whatever sat in that courtroom and watched three therapists read the words of three broken boys and respond with contempt. You'd think that'd be the worst of it. You'd think nothing could follow these statements and make you angrier than you already are. You'd be wrong. Because Corey grabs the mic next. And what she said will make your blood boil. That's next. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. We're going to break down Corey's reaction with the mic in hand next. Press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss it, and join us in the conversations on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in the description. We'll continue it there. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
In our last segment here about Corey Richins, you just heard what the boys wrote. Her three kids, a nine-year-old who woke up to sirens and didn't know if he was safe, a kid who had to parent his own brothers because a woman in that house was either gone or drunk, and a boy locked in his bedroom so often his older brother smuggled him food while his animals starved to death around him. This was allegedly the world of Corey Richins, according to her own three children. We're about to hear Corey's reaction to all of that in its entirety. while those words were still hanging in that courtroom when Corey Richens opened her mouth. What you're about to hear is her full statement delivered minutes after her children's words hit the record. Not days, not later, not after reflection, just minutes. Listen for what's missing. Because if everything, in everything you're about to hear, Corey Richens does not address a single thing the boys wrote. Not the locked doors, not the dead animals, not one word. What she does instead, you really need to hear for yourself. And that's exactly what we are about to do right now as we continue our fun series here. WTF was that, the sentencing of Corey Richens. Let's watch Corey do what she does best, make everything about herself, shall we? Here we go.
My sweet baby boys, I know that today you don't want to speak to me, have a relationship with me, but you may think you hate me, and that's okay. I will never be angry at you for your feelings. When the day comes that you're ready, I will be here for you, waiting for you and loving you. But I need you boys to know and understand that I have been desperately trying to get in contact with you any way that I can for years. That all of my communication has been completely cut off from you since early 2024. And now I will use any opportunity I can to get a message to you. Even if that means sharing it publicly to the world, fully restrained, in my jail clothes, in one of the most horrible situations possible. I don't care, and I'm not embarrassed or ashamed by any of it. All I care about is you boys.
You're willing to narcissist.
I will do whatever it takes for you to hear the truth from me and to come home to you. For the time being, I don't know when that is or when my next opportunity will be. So for now, bear with me as I have tried to consolidate everything I've wanted to share with you for the last few years, with everything I want you to know until I'm able to speak to you again in one long message. And although you may not be ready to hear it today, that's okay. My hope is one day you will be. May 6th of 2024, temporary custody was transferred from the state of Utah Child Services to your Aunt Katie and Uncle Clint. My last video call with you boys was several weeks prior to that, around April 24th, 2024, when you were still in the state's custody. Once temporary custody was transferred to Katie and Clint, against my wishes, they cut off all of my communication between you boys and I. It was years before I would ever have a trial. I warned social services that if they gave custody of you to the Richens family, it would be the last time I would be able to see or speak to you boys again. And your opinion of me in this case and wild allegations would soon mirror those of the Richens family. And that's exactly what happened. You need to know the Darden side of the family fought a long, hard battle for custody, but was eventually ignored and denied. Since temporary custody was granted to Katie and Clint, they have not allowed me to see or speak to you. No more video calls, no more visits. They blocked the phone number for the jail so I can't call you. Birthday cards, Christmas cards, the letters I would send you boys, they were all returned or rerouted.
And might I say bravo to them.
All my contact was cut off more than 2 years ago.
Good parenting.
So please,
no, seriously.
Please ask them.
They are protecting those kids.
For your letters, if I try calling you, please just ask them, whether it's now or in 10 years. The one thing I need you boys to know is I did not abandon you. I did not just walk out of your lives one day to never return, to never call, to never show up. Regardless of what anyone tells you, I would never, ever leave you boys. And I am so sorry if for even one second you thought that I did.
You made that choice when you killed Dad, bitch.
If for even 1 second,
you don't get to keep having that.
Because that couldn't be further from the truth. You boys are my world. The reason I continue to wake up every day and fight to come home.
Well, they don't want you, so maybe it's time to call it a day, Corey. Bed sheets, you know, just saying Jeff did it.
I understand that you're in a difficult situation. Mentally, emotionally, and physically. I understand you guys have been through an extremely difficult time this past 4 years. You should never have to deal with such tragedy. And I am so, so sorry that you were going through this. You boys have the right to be angry and sad and confused, feel in survival mode, have questions. All of this is completely valid. Your feelings are completely valid. And one day when this is all over, we can sit down and talk about all of this.
It's going to be over.
Sort it all out. Ah! I promise you boys, one day it will be over.
Yeah. What, your dad comes back from the dead?
I'm not perfect. I have succeeded and I have failed. As a person, as a wife, as a parent, we all do.
And here's the consequences, bitch.
I have done plenty of things I am not proud of. Some I regret, some I don't. Some I'm ashamed of, and some I'm not. I regret things I have done right in my life to later find out they were for the wrong people. I have said things I shouldn't have.
That's a classic narcissistic flip, by the way.
Sometimes I haven't said what I should or not meant what I did say. There are things I can't change and long overdue apologies that I owe. There are would-haves and could-haves and should-haves. We all have them. We have all done them.
Oh, we all have.
Your voice will too one day, but in your own way. And that's okay. That's life, and we're human. Nobody is all good or all bad.
Pulling everybody down to her level is what she's trying to do. She's trying to normalize.
You're going to succeed and achieve amazing things in this life.
Oh, we are.
You're also going to make mistakes and fail at some things. But use those opportunities to grow and to learn. They do not define you. And don't ever let other people make you think that they do. We are not defined by our best or our worst moments. We fall somewhere in the middle, ever evolving. And you boys are ever evolving. Secrets diminish self-respect. They lose trust. They make us lose ourselves. I fell in love with someone who wasn't your dad. Your dad fell in love with someone who wasn't me.
Oh, we're going to say that.
I did things behind your dad's back. He did things behind mine. Don't keep secrets. Always put your spouse first.
Is that what happened?
Your dad and I didn't always do this. But don't be like us in that aspect. We made mistakes that I know I regret. And I'm sure if he were here today, he would say that there are a few things he regrets as well.
Speaking for the man you murdered.
Marriage is hard.
That's nice.
Marriage takes work. Marriage takes love. Big love. Deep love.
You're not capable of.
And you may think about divorce, and you will have fights, but then you will make up, and you will forgive each other. Because when your love is enough, your love keeps you together. Your love is all you need to ignore the noise.
And swindling millions of dollars from your husband's accounts.
Sometimes your dad would want to throw in the towel on our marriage. Or I would want to throw in the towel on our marriage. But we never did. We always found our way back to each other. I would pick up his towel. You
clearly
didn't.
He
would pick up mine. We'd hand them back to each other and start again. Because our love never failed.
Yes, it did.
We stopped keeping track of each other's wrongdoings, and we forgave, and we moved on, and we loved. And if I had to relive all of those hard days all over again, I would do it without question.
You loved? He feared for his life. He was telling everyone how fearful he was of you as you attempted to poison him time after time. You stupid, crazy... Yeah.
Your dad and I were a lot of things. A mess of sorts sometimes.
But we were this crazy, beautiful mess that made us a family. Because our love was enough.
Beautiful mess, yes. What a beautiful mess.
Our hard days never outweighed our good days. Our weak moments never outweighed our most memorable happy days. We always laughed more than we cried. We failed at some things. But we never failed at loving you, boys. Our love was enough to make our house a home. Our love was enough to stay together, to raise you boys. Our love was enough to forgive each other when others said that we shouldn't. To do things for each other others may disagree with. Our love was enough to protect each other, even though it may cost us everything.
This
love can make you lose yourself. Sometimes it makes you do things you know you shouldn't. But knowing it's not wrong at the same time. Because your spouse is your person, your love is enough. One day, you will meet someone and fall in love and understand that just your love is enough. Enough to withstand everything else, the noise of the world, the obstacles, the trials of marriage, the heartache, bad choices, forgiveness. You will understand your love is enough, and your love never fails. Don't worry about what others think about your relationship. Don't worry if they would do things differently. You just love, and you love big, and you love deep, and you protect your love. Your dad and I didn't have it all together. Together, we really did have it all. Because we had you three. Don't let anyone choose the direction of your life by their opinions and their judgments. Being able to hold yourself together in the worst of situations doesn't make you emotionless. Separating personal and business life and emotions doesn't make you unreasonable. Resentment can get the best of others. Don't let it get the best of you. People will always have a lot to say about lives they've never lived. Live your life the way you choose to live it. Just be safe and be healthy and be happy. That's all that matters.
Is it? I guess,
sometimes people will want you to believe that life is simply black and white.
I think it's interesting there, you know, just be happy, not about treat other people well or do good against others. It's as long as you're happy. Right, Corey? That's all that matters. Right. Just that you're happy. Doesn't matter what other people think. It's essentially what she's saying here is doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says, as long as you're happy, all the shit you do to get for your happiness. You know, it doesn't matter.
The situations are black and white, but they're not. Life, situations, they are full of color. At the very least, shades of gray. Always question the color, even if you're only questioning the gray areas. Keep an open mind. Question situations and stay curious. You will have some people in your life tell you how their love for you is unconditional. But once your most private life has been revealed, you quickly find out just how conditional their love actually was.
Okay, so she's been wronged.
Choose the people you hold close to your heart wisely. And always be the friend that walks into somebody's life when everyone else chooses to walk out. Always remember, the only people you owe your loyalty to are those people who never made you question theirs. Every day you wake up, you get a second chance at life. To do whatever you want.
No, you don't.
Be whoever you want. To succeed in all your dreams. Take the day and run with it.
Keep telling yourself that.
It's a blessing. Don't take it for granted. Sometimes you'll have hard days when all you want to do is count all the ways things are going wrong or have gone wrong in your life. In that moment, stop. Take a minute. Take a step back. Take a breath and switch your thinking to count all the ways that it has gone right. All the good that has come to you boys. All the grace, the blessings, and the love. Remember that anyone can give up on something. That's the easy way out. True strength comes when everyone is expecting you to fall apart, but you hold it together, persevering through the hardest of times. Always persevere. Always prove them wrong. Because you boys don't give up, and you boys will never quit. There's always going to be someone out there ready to tear you down, misrepresent you, lie about you, tell half-truths, and judge you. They will judge you on decisions you do or don't make, what you did or didn't do, what you did or didn't say. They will take out of context and twist your words. They will judge you on your emotions or the way you grieve. You may show too much emotion. You may not show enough. They will tell you you're not grieving correctly. You're too angry. You're too sad. You're holding it together too well or not well enough. Or maybe you're too ambitious. They will judge you on...
None of this shit is about her kids. None of it. All of this is about Corey. All of this is about how she has been judged, how she has been seen, how people have reacted to her, the decisions that she's made in a way that is not congruent to how Corey sees herself. This isn't life advice for her kids. This is Corey airing, and this is the mask coming down and her just throwing it all up onto everyone in that courtroom, how she's been wronged, masking it as if she's giving some sort of life advice to her children. Anybody who sees it as anything else is a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. You don't have enough experience in life if you're reading this as like a genuine mother talking to her children, because none of this is about her fucking kids.
Their demeanor, if you cry, if you don't cry, if you don't do anything at all. And all of this will get misinterpreted into something that it's not, formed by the opinions of who's ever creating it. And then silence is also too often misinterpreted and misjudged. But when people behave that way,
everybody misjudges you, Corey. Everyone, right?
To do with them personally than it
every person
you.
Ever.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
It's not your
make it true. Remember who you are and what you stand for. The truth, and ignore the noise. Ignore their noise. Ignore their egos, their entitlement, and their biased judgment. Those who abuse the power and the positions they hold will have a higher power to report to one day.
Oh,
and that higher
God.
Power holds the final truth, their final truth. Don't ever let someone tell you how to show emotion, how you're supposed to react to any given situation. Don't care what others think about you, what others say about you. Just let them talk. Just be you. Be yourself. Be authentic. Be genuine. Because those who truly know you, who truly love you, is all you need. Forgive those who turn their back on you, but never forget. Don't hold hate in your heart toward others. It only brings you down more than it does them. Apologize
like
when you're wrong.
This.
Even if that apology is long overdue. You can't change what you can't change. And you can't change the past. But you can take accountability when you mess up. Admit when you make a mistake. Even when it's embarrassing or humiliating. Even when it can ruin relationships, careers, or your integrity. Be honest with yourself and those you need to. But never apologize for something you didn't do. Never admit to something you didn't do. And never beg for mercy for something you didn't do. Don't take the easy way out. Always stand up for what's right, even if you find yourself standing alone or with a small group of people that love you. Believe in yourself and be brave. Never give up on your fight, no matter how long it takes, months, even years. Never give up on truth, justice, and the fight of corruption. When something is broken, fix it. When something doesn't make sense, question it. If money is paying for it, follow the money. Your brothers are your best friends. Your dad and I raised you boys that if you cared about nothing else in this world, you care about each other. Your brothers will always be there for you. They will always be your brothers. You love them. You protect them. You take care of each other. You support each other. You help each other. And you trust one another. You be loyal to one another. And you keep each other safe and healthy and happy. And you stay together no matter what. Each other's backs. Be patient with one another. Don't keep track of wrongdoings. Let them go. Forgive. Move on. Show compassion, empathy toward each other. Never go a day without telling one another you love each other. Because you are never too old or too cool or too busy to love each other.
What a narcissist. I mean, God. Maybe if you've had
Don't ever settle for just good.
Have you ever had a narcissist or a borderline in your life and they get to this stage of the apology or the story or the explanation or the whatever the fuck they're trying to do? It looks like this. It's not quite real empathy. It's not like quite really connecting with emotions because they're not capable of connecting with those sort of emotions. So they perform these types of emotions. Watch and learn.
Go for great. In school, in your career, in hunting, in fishing, in your relationships, in your goals. Exceed expectations. Be like your dad. Be generous. Be charitable. Stay humble. Give when you have too much. Give more than you take.
Do the opposite of everything I've done in my entire existence.
Others are in need. Serve your community. Be like your dad. Never stop learning. Through education, through people, through travel and culture, through business and friends, from your success and achievements, from your mistakes and failures. Be like your dad.
Why is there this, like, orgy of attorneys around her?
Love the outdoors.
Look, what's going on here?
Your peace, your therapy, your heart and soul. On the top of a mountain somewhere. Where it's quiet. Where it's calm. Where you will be able to feel the spirits of those that you love and miss the most.
Okay, on a mountain. We're on a mountain now.
Be feeling like the your spirits. Dad. Laugh. Laugh often. Laugh loud. Laugh when you want to cry. Laugh when you're mad. Have that laugh that everyone recognizes and no one will ever forget. Even when you're gone. Be like your dad. Love your family. Through the good, the bad, the disagreements, the back and forth arguments. Choose forgiveness. Choose love. Choose happiness. Be a loyal brother. Be a noble son. Be like your dad.
The one you killed.
Have the hobbies that bring you excitement and joy, that give you a break from life, but build your life full of people and family who you love and that love you. Build a family that makes you happy to come home to every day, with a career that makes you hold your head high. Be the friend everyone wants to be friends with. The dad that everyone wishes they had. Be like your dad.
Be anything but like your mom and you'll be okay. That's the lesson to be learned here. Don't do any, like if you think, that's kind of like mom would do, don't do it.
As your parents, your dad and I wanted to give you every opportunity or choice that we didn't have. We would do anything for you boys or break our backs falling over obstacles and fighting our way to be sure
well, you had the best of the best. Destroyed all security for these kids.
Even if we didn't always do it well, or have the right answers, or the words. We would give you everything that we had.
No, you didn't. You stole from their dad. You put yourselves in a horrible situation.
But the one thing I can't give you boys are the answers that you want the most. Because I can't give you something that I don't have.
A soul.
An explanation that I just don't know. I've never lost a son. I've never lost one of my brothers, a nephew, or a best friend. But I did grow up with a single mother, and I have lost my father. I do know what it's like to wonder, what if Dad could have watched me graduate college, walk me down the aisle,
somehow making it about you again, bitch.
Be there for the birth of one of you boys. If only Dad were here. I do know what that's like.
Oh, do you? Did your mom kill him?
What a time of pain that brings. The sadness and the anger. I would never wish that upon anyone. Especially you boys. My own sweet babies.
Let me be an empathetic figure, though I'm not at all.
It's a lifetime of what ifs and if onlys. An empty hole in your heart where your dad's supposed to be.
She needs more snot. She needs to murder all this shit up a little
He's
bit, don't you
to
think?
Fill. He's supposed to walk through life with you.
Not a sniffling.
Us,
not enough.
Family. I do know what that's like.
Do you?
So murder, an attempted murder. 4 years later. And it's still hard for me to say those words out loud. They get caught in my throat. They turn my stomach. And I try to avoid them as much as possible.
That's evident.
Because it makes me physically sick to think about.
Should.
But still to this day, I can't believe this is real.
That you're being held accountable for your actions.
That this is our life. That this is my life. Convicted of taking one of the people out of my life and filled it the most. My husband. Father of my children. Still in shock and still in disbelief. Accused and now convicted of such a heinous crime. Potentially costing me to never see you boys again. I just lost both of their parents. And there's no textbook answer on how or what we're supposed to do. How I'm supposed to react or move forward. I'm so sorry you boys are being pulled through the middle of this.
That's somewhat telling. There's no textbook, there's no answer how I'm supposed to perform moving forward. Because that's what life is to Corey. She needs the guidebook. She needs the instruction. She needs someone to tell her how to react. Because brains like this don't know. They don't have empathy. They can't. They don't just naturally do what they're supposed to do. But what so many of us have. They need to mimic grief. They need to mimic. And this is such a bizarre, out there, rare situation. There isn't a guidebook to it. And she doesn't have one, and she's never going to have one, but she can't perform just the basics of it. It's an interesting thought.
This absolute chaos. Between two families fighting that both love you so very much. Trust and assets, our home, none of it matters. You boys are what matter. Your safety, your health, mentally, emotionally, all of that should be being prioritized. I will and have always prioritized your safety. I am your mother. That is my job. And for anyone to scare you otherwise is just cruel and heartless. I'm sorry that 8 people from a jury who have never met you or me or our family had the right to determine our future. And they did that in less than 3 hours.
Sorry I got caught.
In a perfect world, there might be justice. But in a perfect world, nothing ever goes wrong. Tragedies don't happen. Something a verdict or the sentencing will be the answer that they seek or that they need, but it won't. It will only give them something else to think about for a while. It may help to disperse some of their hurt or their resentment, but it won't relieve it. This grief will outlive us all. The hundreds of lives that this has affected. The lifelong trauma you boys have suffered this last 4 years will outlive us all. You haven't had to just endure losing one parent, but losing two. And no child should ever have to go through that. Especially when one was an unforeseen tragedy. And the other based on injustice and a system we're supposed to trust.
Should have thought of that when you ordered the Michael Jackson stuff.
Your dad's memory will always be the kind that's a physical hurt. The tightening in your chest when you think of him. Particularly on days like today, his birthday. Because he was so loved that no verdict or sentence will ever be able to release that kind of suffering. I'm broken. Broken without your dad. I'm broken without you boys.
You were broken the day you came out of a chute.
God did not put me in this world to take a life.
God fucked up by putting
God put me in this world to give life. Your lives. And I don't know who or what I'm supposed to be if it's not a mother. Your mother. And as much as you've been influenced into thinking that Dad was murdered and I took your dad from you, that is completely wrong and an absolute lie. And the thought of that is still as absurd today as it was 4 years ago. And just because someone may not be perfect, that's a far reach for them to be capable of murder. To kill someone. Our someone. Your dad was in physical pain. A lot of physical pain. And just because some people didn't know or didn't want to see certain things, doesn't mean they weren't happening or they weren't true. He would have never left us intentionally. And I would have never taken him from you, from us.
I accept you did.
He was the glue that held us all together, that made us us.
Yeah, he stood by you despite how despicable of a human being you were until you removed him because he was an inconvenience to you. And you were so arrogant.
He's our father.
You thought you'd get away with it.
Is he supposed to teach you the things that I can never explain?
Empathy. Morality.
He's supposed to teach you and do things with you that only a dad can do.
Yeah, don't marry that.
And only he could give you those life lessons between a father and a son. I would have never taken that from you, boys. I know how much you need him. How much you loved him. How much you aspire to be just like him. I would have never taken that from you. And I'm so sorry that I can't bring it back for you.
Don't say for me. Oh, you did say for me.
For our family.
Could you at least just said just for them, but you had to make that about you too? Bringing him back for you? I mean, really? Seriously? You had the boy. Oh, we got some snot rocking. We're rocking the snot. Look at that. We're murdering this shit. All right. That was a good nod. Because all this happened on the day he get rented a new trial. That's amazing.
I can beat myself up all day.
Please do.
How I could have been a better person.
Here's a spike back from Negan. Use that.
And I can understand and accept you boys being upset about those things. But murder? No. Absolutely not.
Mm.
I will not accept that.
Here we go. This
and I will not be blamed for something I did not do.
Classic fucking narcissist shit right here.
I will appeal and fight these charges no matter how long it takes. Not because I have anything to prove to this court, to the state, to the Richens family, or to the world.
You do.
But I do have something to prove to you three. I do care what you boys think, and I need you boys to know the truth. And because of that, I will never quit or give up on this fight for justice, the truth, and coming home to you. So please, I know that right now you may not believe me, that you believe I took Dad from you, and that's okay. I still and will always love you. And I'm asking that you please just don't give up on me. I'm coming home.
We've crossed that bridge already.
Not this year. But we're going to make this right. Our justice system will get this right. Although this courtroom can't seem to. We have a long road ahead. But I will never quit fighting my way home to you, boys. I love you more than these words could ever express. I loved you before I ever met you. love you long after I'm not here to say it. And every minute of every day, I miss you boys more and more. And I think about how much I wish I could be with you, and this nightmare would go away. And we could have our family back. This entire situation isn't fair to anyone, but it's especially not fair to you three. And you boys are all that matters. I want to remind you just how strong you are. That you are loved by so many. And I am beyond proud of you. Of everything you have overcome. Everything you have achieved. And how much you bring into this world.
You say that as if your opinion should matter to those kids. As if you being proud of them matters in any way, shape, or form.
You boys have been through so much. And I wish I could take away all your sadness and all your pain. Tell you how much Dad and I love you. And that everything's going to be okay. I wish I could count the freckles in your little cheeks. Read you books before bed.
Wish I could get joy out of your existence.
And help you with all your homework.
Oh, wait, I didn't do that either.
I wish I could help you through your toughest nights. And hear your laugh through your happiest days.
Wish you did the things you should have done when you had the opportunity.
Now, that's just not the way it is.
Well, you were too about yourself and pretending to be an HGTV star.
We have to be strong. We have to remember that our strength grows in these moments. But we don't think we can go on. But we keep going on anyway, because we have to push in these hard days. Because in the end, at the end of this war, it will be so worth it.
What's a war now?
But I need you boys to always keep pushing through these hard days. Because this will come to an end. I just need you to hang in there. Listen to your little hearts. Listen to your little bellies for the truth. Before you were told who to be and what to believe, remember who you are. Remember who we are. Remember our family. I will continue to call you every day, even if my calls are blocked.
Well, this gets creepy.
Just so you know that I'm here. I've always been here. And I will always be here.
Like a narcissist does. Just so you know, I'm here.
My cards, my letters, they will never stop.
Make it about me.
I will never stop.
Even though they're like, leave us alone.
Forever, Mom.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's all
right. All right. Well, that's great. So the kid said, leave us alone. We don't want you. We want you to be away forever. And your reaction is, I'm just going to keep sending you shit all the time, every day. Corey, I want to talk to you directly because I know you're probably watching this on your iPad in prison because you can't get enough of yourself. I know. Even if it's bad, it's like, eat this shit up. Here's a little bite for you. Your son told that courtroom that you locked him in his room. You said nothing. Your son told that courtroom that his brother had to sneak him food. You said nothing. Your son described animals starving to death, freezing to death, eaten by raccoons because you wouldn't let them be safe inside. You said nothing. Your son said you smacked his dog in the head as hard as you could. Nothing about that. Your son said you made them watch videos of starving children because they wouldn't eat the shitty lasagna you made. Nothing. Not one word, not one syllable. Three boys describe a house of horrors with you at the center, and you don't acknowledge any of it. Instead, you talked about yourself. You talked about your love story, about picking up towels, about how marriage is hard. You talked about finding your way back to each other, even though you didn't. As if you didn't end that story by putting fentanyl in their dad's drink. You talked about your love being enough. Enough for what, Corey? It wasn't enough to feed your kids. It wasn't enough to unlock a bedroom door. It wasn't enough to put water out for the rabbit. You told those boys, boys who just begged a judge to keep them safe from you, to be like their dad. Over and over, be generous like your dad. Laugh like your dad. Love the outdoors like your dad. You turned the man the jury says you killed into a motivational poster and used his memory to prop in your own performance. You don't get to eulogize the man you were convicted of murdering and call it parenting. You told them he was in a lot of physical pain. You couldn't help yourself. Even after a conviction, standing in front of the judge, you were still planting seeds, still nudging the narrative towards maybe Eric did that to himself. Even in a moment that was supposed to be about your children, you were running the play. You told them, listen to your little bellies for the truth. You told children who described you as drunk, absent, and cruel to stop trusting the people who finally made them feel safe. You told boys who begged a judge to lock you away forever that you're coming home. That's not love. That's a threat. Dressed up as a lullaby. Your son told the court that if you got out, he'd be terrified. You'd take him from the only people who make him feel safe. And your answer to that child's fear was, I'm coming back. What kind of mother hears her kids say they're scared of her and responds to the promise to show up anyway? You had one moment, Corey. Every camera was on you. Your children might watch that tape someday. You could have said, I hear you. I'm sorry about the locked doors. I'm sorry about the animals. I'm sorry you were scared. You didn't have to admit to the murder. You just had to admit you heard them. And you still couldn't do it. Just like every borderline narcissistic fuck out there. Because even after the verdict, even after the boys told the world what living with you was really like, the most important person in the courtroom was still you. Those boys asked for one thing, safety, a life where you can't reach them. And you stood up and told the world, you're coming to get them. That tells you everything. I think it tells those boys everything they already knew. And hopefully the rest of the world does now too. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.